books this morning. We'll be seeing a number of choruses. 724 in the hymn book. 724, For God So Loved the World. 8. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness.
Save the God, there's nothing to worry about.
schedule on the calendar unless we miss somebody. So, that being the case, the children's class can be dismissed now. Psalm 25. Psalm 25 is where we've been studying for our adult Sunday school class memory verse. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. This is a good passage. Sam, you want to say it?
Sure.
Go right ahead.
And Psalm 24, 4 and 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day.
Amen. I learned verse 5 a long time ago. I was a young child. Let's go in our wrong direction now, but maybe some of you will remember something called Children's Bible Hour. And, that was on the radio every Saturday for many years, a long time ago. And one of the stories told, they used this verse as the main verse to go along with the story. It was a blessing. I still remember it to this day. All right. Well, anyone else is able to say it? Okay. Let's say it together then. Psalm 25, 4 and 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. All right. Very good. Ready for you, Brother Renzi. Good to see you again, as always.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'll tell you, that rain was crazy on my way up here. Oh. And those trucks are making it worse. When you get behind a truck on the highway, I mean, you think that, yeah, nothing at all. But thank the Lord we made it up here safely. I think at 3 o'clock it's supposed to stop, according to, you know, the weathermen. So we'll see what happens here. I had something prepared, but then this morning I just felt led to do something different than I was going to do. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about prayer. I don't know. It's just something this week that has been on my heart, heavy, if you will. And it's something we all need. That's for sure. We all need to be people, God's people who pray, who talk with the Lord on a daily basis, obviously. prayer is so important. I think that it's one of the areas the devil attacks the most in our lives. You know, just quiet time with the Lord, you know, prayer time with the Lord. I will be careful, though, not to try to tell you, you know, how long you should pray. How long you should pray to make yourself a good Christian. We've heard growing up, I have heard growing up, you know, you should pray so much time. If you don't pray so much time, you know, how can you be, you know, whatever? And I just don't think that's right, because if the Bible doesn't say exactly, hey, you should spend this much time in prayer, then who am I to tell you that that's what you should do? We are often told by people what we should and should not do that's apart from Scripture. That makes us a good Christian or not. And what happens is we get that in our mind. That's the rule. That's the standard that I got to do this. And if I don't do this, then I'm, you know, not a good Christian. Well, to some people's standards, they're pretty high to live up to. You know what I mean? You know, if you don't spend, you know, a solid hour in prayer every day, you know, how can you be walking with the Lord, if you will? I mean, you know. Can I get a witness on that one or no? Somebody wrote a song, you know, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. That's wonderful. I've changed it in my hymn book at home, my personal one. And I've changed it to Sweet Time of Prayer. Sweet Time of Prayer. Because it's not always an hour for me. Not always an hour for me. I could make it an hour if I want to be a hypocrite. All I have to do is start some kind of repetitious system or something and go through something, you know, repetitiously, brainlessly, mindlessly, heartlessly. Somebody said strength in prayer is better than length in prayer. A shorter, fervent prayer is better than a long, fake, formal one. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, I understand Jesus said to Peter, could not you watch with me 1 hour? I don't think Jesus, by the way, watch and pray was something Peter was to do. Not, I didn't hear Jesus say, could not you pray 1 hour, 60 minutes? Often in the Bible, the word hour is used for a short time period. Just like day could be used for a long time period. We're in the day of the Lord, the day of salvation, right? The day of grace. And so there are terms sometimes in the Bible that we have to understand. It basically was a short period of time. The Lord wanted Peter to not necessarily be on his knees in prayer for one solid hour, but to spend that time watching and being alert during that situation. Sometimes prayer will drive you longer than an hour. Sometimes it won't be an hour. The whole point is we need to be people who walk with the Lord all day long. Now, there are some people who do their little time, and once their time's over, they walk away from God for the rest of the day. Never communicate with the Lord throughout the day. That's religion. I do my little thing, and then my day's mine, you know. I want to be a person who walks with the Lord all day long. Constant communion with the Lord. Amen? At any moment, every moment, you know, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. Whatever it is that I'm going through. Lord, help this person. Lord, help that. You know, as you're going through the day. Amen? But there are people who created standards that say if you do this, then you're a good Christian or you're whatever. And here's what happens is you feel you do that and you feel good. You feel good because you did what somebody said will make you something. Right? I want my standard of living to be what the Word of God says, not what somebody else says. You and I as believers are, according to Romans 12, we are to live acceptable unto God. My life doesn't have to be acceptable unto somebody else. It has to be acceptable unto God. Amen? That's why I'm responsible to know what is and what is not acceptable to God. It's very easy to find out what's acceptable to a denomination. Very easy to find out what's acceptable to a particular local church. My goal in life is not to find out, you know, give me your doctrinal statement so I know how what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. My goal in life is to look at the Word of God to find out what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. My goal in life should be to seek to please the Lord. In fact, I think the next service I might preach a little bit on pleasing the Lord. Because that's the goal in life. Even Paul the Apostle, I believe it was in the book of Galatians, he said, look, I'm preaching the gospel truth about how to be saved. And these Pharisees are not happy about it because they don't believe that being saved is for free. They believe you got to keep the law. He said, I'm not trying to please men by my preaching. I'm trying to please God. God gave me the message. I give the message out. Amen. And so we all have to seek to be acceptable unto God. And by the way, the thought in Romans 12 in reference to being acceptable is the same as being pleasing to the Lord. If it's acceptable, it's pleasing to the Lord. And that's what I want to do in my life. I want to live to try to please the Lord and to be acceptable to the Lord. Amen. Listen, there are people that are acceptable to a church but are not acceptable to God. I'll tell you who they are. People can come into a church, join a church, do everything that that church says they ought to do, and they'll be acceptable. In fact, they might even be used in a mighty way. And yet privately and personally, they could be living in such a way that are totally unacceptable to God. Then there are people who can live acceptable to God. They can live in a pleasing way according to the Word of God, according to God. But because they are not acceptable by some church, they're shunned. Isn't that the truth? Anybody ever experienced that? Or am I foreign? I've been in the church realm and everything else for about 30-something years. And I'm not just going through mindlessly, I think. I read my Bible, I think. I pray, I seek the Lord, you know. And the goal in life is to try to live life to pleasing the Lord. Amen? And that's what we have to do. And I'm not going to sit here and say to you, if you don't pray so much time, if you don't read so much Bible in a day, you know, how I could read one verse one day and be totally fine. I can read one verse one day and be totally fine. I'm telling some people, oh my, I mean, you have to at least read a chapter a day. Isn't the old saying a chapter a day will keep the devil away? Can I get a witness on that? If I open my Bible and I go to plan on reading a chapter and I read the first verse and I just get hung up and I can't go no further and I'm just, you know what? Wow, that was for me. In fact, if I go too far, I might lose what was for me. Somebody asked, I think it was Spurgeon, John R. Rice, old preacher, you know, good preacher, whatever. Somebody said to him as a young preacher, they said, you know, John R. Rice, how long should a preacher preach? And that's a good question. And I'm sure congregants have their suggestions. How long should a preacher preach? And I think he said this, long enough to get the message across. Short enough that people don't forget it. There's been, but you've been in church, many of you, for many years, and I've been in many years, and a preacher got up, and man, he preached. In the first 20 minutes, he said what he needed to say. I got it. But then he went on and on and on and on. And you almost start to get frustrated to the point where you lost what you got. But I'll tell you what happens. You get a man that gets up and preaches a message for 20 minutes and it's a powerful message and God uses it and God speaks to your heart, but then he shuts it and he moves on. Oh, he must not have much to say. He must not be in his Bible very long. And what happens is people get these ideas. Well, if you're a good preacher, you should at least be able to preach for 45 minutes solid. That shows you're a good preacher filled with the Word of God, filled with knowledge. That may not be the case. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. Where's the, you know, you don't have to. I mean, if a church is always used to, well, the preacher always preaches 45 minutes. If he ever preached a half hour, I mean, actually people get excited, but nonetheless. But he feels, I've already set a standard of 45 minutes. I got to keep that standard. Now, even if that means I'm going to say what I really need to say within a half hour, but I got to fill up to 15 minutes, and in that time, you may get lost. You understand what I'm saying to you? Prayer is one of those areas where, you know, we have to understand it's speaking. I don't even like to say prayer speaking to the Lord. In my mind, it's speaking with the Lord. Because when we do speak to the Lord, there are times he immediately speaks to us. We may be speaking to him about something and he immediately lays on our mind an answer for that. Amen. And so it's speaking with the Lord. Amen. And prayer is one of those things that are to relieve burdens, not to become a burden. When rules and regulations about prayer time is laid on you, it becomes more of a burden for you than a blessing for you. Think about that. It almost reminds me of the Sabbath day for the children of Israel. The Sabbath was made for the benefit and blessing of mankind and the children of Israel especially. But what happened? They turned it around with their rules and regulations and they made what was supposed to be a blessing to those people a burden to those people. That's what Jesus said. Amen? That the Sabbath was made to be a blessing. Prayer time is a blessing and a benefit to each one of us. And we can't allow any self-imposed. And by the way, I'll be honest with you. I've damaged myself and sometimes still do by self-imposed things. Anybody else do that or no? Thank you. Thank you. I'm that type of person. I'm a time. I, I don't want to say I'm organized and everything. I try to be. But I try to regiment a lot of times my life. And I'll say, well, I'm going to do this much. You know, I like to do everything in increments. Anybody else like that? You know, I like to do this and I'm going to read. And sometimes I regiment myself and I put a measurement on myself and I burden myself. Amen. Impose upon myself rules and regulations that hurt me in the long run, you know. Prayer is something we all need, no doubt about it. That is why I believe that there are so many scriptures that encourage us to pray. Amen. Matthew 26:41 is one of those. You don't have to turn there because I'm going to just quote the statement I want to quote for you, and that's watch and pray. In fact, Matthew 26:41 is the very context in which Jesus was speaking to Peter. Peter and the James and John fell asleep. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane. I think the atmosphere of that garden was very, very heavy. I mean, Jesus was going through the struggle he was going through, and I think there was just probably a demonic atmosphere about it. And I'll tell you what, there was a battle raging. And Peter and the disciples, James and John, they just couldn't keep their eyes open. And Jesus said, watch and pray, watch and pray. In fact, he said this, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the spirit is not the Holy Spirit in that verse. The spirit is not capitalized. That's your spirit. See, Peter had a spirit that was willing to do what he wanted. You remember, I'm ready to die for you. I'm ready to go to prison. Remember that? His spirit was definitely willing, but when it came down to it, his flesh was so weak, he actually denied even knew the Lord. Amen? Watch and pray. Luke 18:1, you don't have to turn there. Here's what Jesus said also. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You want to put a time limit on prayer? Here's one for you. Always. That now threw away any kind of small measurement. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. That takes away a half an hour. That takes away an hour. That takes away. What is he saying? He's saying have an attitude of prayer all the time. Folks, I've been trying to pray for 30 something years. And it is very easy to get an organized prayer down to the point where you can do it when you're half sleeping. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Can I get a witness? Very easy to become so mechanical that you're heartless in it. You know what a preacher challenged me one time to do in reference to that? Go through a day and only pray when you feel you need it. What does that mean? Well, I get up in the morning. First thing I need to do is I feel I need to say thank you, Lord, for another day. Do you know that's prayer? That very much, that's prayer. I didn't have to get in some closet, shut the door, get on my knees, say thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for another day. In fact, it's crazy. You're putting clothes on. You say, you know, thank you, Lord, for the clothes I have. Thank you, Lord, for a vehicle that I can actually get somewhere. You know what I mean? In fact, vehicles are wants. I mean, vehicles are wants sometimes more than needs. Especially where I live. I live in the city. I could jump on a bus. I could jump on the L to get to work or whatever. But to drive a car is a luxury. He didn't just meet my need. He actually met my want. It's a little more convenient, you know? I'm just saying to you, as you go at the table, you get ready to eat something, you say, well, hold on a minute. Thank you, Lord, for this food. Go to read your Bible. Lord, open my eyes. Speak to my heart. And Lord, if there's any sin between me and you that may hinder me from, you know, getting the word, you know, please search me. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Always pray. Always pray. And I believe, as you well know, good, quiet time alone with the Lord is needful, necessary, no doubt about it. But we all have to be careful of the monotony of prayer, because again, in fact, sometimes I have to on purpose try to change the way I'm praying, because I find myself over so many years praying the same kind of format, if you will. You know what I mean? Nothing wrong with a format, but when that format becomes, you know, so heartless, you know, maybe it's time to change the furniture. You know what I mean? Amen. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Romans 12:12, here's another one for you. Here's what Paul said, continue instant in prayer. That means that in a moment, be able to pray. You know, and that's an attitude of prayer all day long, by the way. Walking with the Lord, amen. Ephesians 6:18, praying always. Again, there's that praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We talk about fleshly praying. That's when I do my duty. Fleshly pray. You can pray in the flesh. I think James refers to it praying amiss, right? You can pray in the flesh without heart, without sincerity, without even allowing the Spirit to lead and guide and direct our prayers. He helpeth our infirmities. When we know not what to pray for, he maketh intercession for us. Right? Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Philippians 4:6, you know these. I'm just quoting scriptures that encourage you and I as believers to pray. And it's not a particular small amount. It's usually always pray, you know. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about nothing. Easier said than done. Man, that song we sang, you know, was it Cheer? Yeah, nothing to worry about, nothing to be afraid about. I just don't see it. In the world, you shall have tribulation. A lot of things that could be concerned me. I know we got to be of good cheer. You know, he's overcome the world and so will we. But man, it's just, boy, I'll tell you. Be careful for nothing. That's the struggle, to try not to worry about anything, but in everything by prayer. Everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Colossians 4:2, Paul said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And then here's one for you, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You know this, pray without ceasing. Well, that takes away any kind of smallness. You understand? We need to, in fact, I remember talking to somebody, we were talking about soul winning, you know, and everybody was always, you need to go soul winning. And there was always an emphasis, and it's usually a Saturday morning or Thursday night or whatever it is. You need to go soul winning. And some people that go soul winning, and there's nothing wrong, by the way, with going out and sharing the word of God with people and trying to win souls or whatever. I think in our day and age, we're doing more soul warning than winning, but nonetheless, sometimes people go and they do their thing at that particular hour, and that's all they ever do all week long. Right. And I always would think, you know, we need to be soul winners more than go soul winning. It needs to be something that is a daily thing that God can use in and through our lives as he leads, guides, and directs. Amen? Because some people will go out and they'll knock on a designated block and then they'll go next to their coworker and not even say a word to them that they're even Christians. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. They're soul winners, but they're not soul winners. They go out and do some program, but they really don't. They're really not from their heart concerned about anybody. I want to be a person who makes a difference in the lives of others, and it don't necessarily have to be that I have to go to some program door or block, whatever, but just as I go through life and the people within the sphere of my life, God can use me in their lives, and really a lot of it has to do with my living. How I live will make the difference on what I say to anybody. Most of the people we live and move around have heard many times the things that we could tell them in a moment. Jesus loves you. They probably heard that 1,000 times somewhere or somehow, right? Jesus saves. Many have heard that. But people need is they need it explained to them. And usually they don't sit down and open up to somebody explaining something to them. They have no idea who they are. You and I, as we work and live and do what we do, may God use our good works to open ways for us to share the gospel with people. Amen? God can do that. Prayer is something we need, but it's something that first is laid out for us in scriptures. We're encouraged to pray. We're encouraged to pray. And just and that was just a few verses of encouragement to pray. But not only is prayer something that we're told to do, I would say this, prayer is something we need to do. We need to pray. One of the things that prayer does for us, James 4:2, the Bible says, You have not because you ask not. We need to pray. See, as God's people, we need... Why do I need to pray? Because I need God. Prayer is what connects me to God. And I need God. We all need God. As believers, we need the Lord to get through the day. We're not getting through the day. We're not getting through the week. We're not getting through the month. We're not getting through the year. We're not getting through life without God. Prayer is us humbly acknowledging, I can't do this on my own. I need you. In fact, I think the thought of being on your knees in prayer has to do with I'm on my knees because I can't do anything. I believe the old thought of the folded hands had to do with I can't do anything. Like when you're on your knees and you got folded hands, can I tell you what you look like? You look like you're stuck. Am I right or am I wrong? I'm on my knees because my feet ain't going to be able to get me where I need to go. My hands are folded because my hands don't have what it takes to accomplish whatever it is. Not just accomplish for God, accomplish simply in life and through life as a believer. So I guess it's the essence of somebody folding their hands and getting on their knees and just physically portraying the thought of, Lord, I need you. Amen. I need you. I need you every hour. Amen. Can't go through the day without the Lord. Amen. And that's what prayer is. It's humbling ourselves before God and seeking the Lord for ourselves, usually first, for our families and our friends and loved ones. Amen. And it goes out. We have not because we ask not. And this message or lesson this morning is for you and I that are saved. Now, if you're not saved in here, I don't see any first-time visitors. I'm not going to, this is primarily for those that are saved. Prayer is a way of getting through this life victoriously. Not being overcome by the devil, not being overcome by the world, and not being overcome by the flesh. And by the way, according to scriptures, these are our enemies. In fact, in James 4, where it talks about you have not because you ask not, it actually gives the thoughts in that chapter of the flesh being an enemy, of the world being an enemy, and of the devil being an enemy. James 4, 7, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. James 4, 4, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. James 4, the first few, where do fights and wars come among you? From your members, which lust and so on. What I'm saying to you, every believer has enemies. And by the way, I think my worst enemy is me. I'm my worst enemy. And when I'm crying out to God for deliverance, I'm saying, God, help me not to be overcome by the devil. And I know really, I think we think in our minds, like, I'm not really that important. The devil's concerned about me. But obviously he is. Obviously he is. Now, I don't think he's personally the one that's where I think he's got an entourage. I think he's got an army. I think Ephesians 6 emphasizes principalities, powers. I believe there are demons on this earth. There's no doubt about it. Fallen angels. Amen. So we have a warfare against, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, one day I was reading that verse, we wrestle not, and I just stopped at the word we wrestle, because that's the truth. We wrestle. Now it says not against flesh and blood, but the fact is we wrestle. If we are not wrestling, we're losing. If you don't have a battle, I don't know what, why not. Amen. So prayer is me trying to get a hold of God or getting a hold of God, saying, Lord, I want to face you because I can't face the devil without you. I think it was Michael the archangel didn't even want to face the devil. He said, the Lord rebuke thee. By the way, the devil's stronger than every one of us. None of us are going to, rush the gates of hell with a water pistol. You know what I mean? None of us, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. We're not going to go at him in our own name. We'll remember the name of the Lord. They that trust in chariots and horses, they fall. But we will remember the name of the Lord and stand upright. I believe it's Psalm 20. Amen. I'm saying to you, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in and find safety. I'm not trying to go at the devil, and I'm not trying to go at the world, and I'm not trying to fight my own flesh. in my own flesh. By the way, that wouldn't work too good, I don't think. I need help from outside of me. That would be the Lord. But yet I need help from inside of me. And that would be the Holy Spirit. Strengthened with might in the inner man by His Spirit. And getting help from God. Amen. I need prayer because I got to face the devil and I got to face the world and I got to face me first and foremost. The worst of my enemies is me. As much as I get frustrated over my faults and failures, and yes, I have them. I know you thought I didn't, but I do have them. We all get frustrated over our faults and failures, right? And we even get determined, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to say that again. And yeah, okay. Thank God for forgiveness. Amen. Prayer is a way of facing the enemy and fighting the enemy and getting victorious over the enemy or getting through. Amen. Hebrews 2:18, He's able to help us when we're tempted. He's able to succor us when we're tempted. Hebrews 4:14-16, we come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in a time of need. He ever lives to make intercession for us. One of the Old Testament illustrations is Exodus 17:8-16. What time is about 25 after, somewhere around there? Okay. You know what, let's go to this one. I'm not going to get too far, but that's okay. We'll see what happens. Turn to Exodus, if you would, please. And don't worry, I'm not going to be one of those guys who spends the whole time on an introduction and then gives the whole sermon afterwards. Many preachers do that. You think, man, you know, wow, he just talked for 45 minutes and now he's asking you to open the Bible to a particular section. We're in for it. Some preachers don't understand how you can lose people's minds after a while, you know. We have to understand the human condition, right? We really do. It's like there's techniques when you're teaching children. You know, you can't expect 4 and 5 year olds to sit down and listen to a 30-minute sermon. Amen? It don't happen. There are different levels and different learnings. Exodus chapter 17. I want you to just look at this. We're going to leave off on this one this morning. But we need prayer. We need prayer. Now, I may continue this in the next service. And by the way, I'll preach down here just to let everybody know. You could just leave us here if you would, please. For some reason, it's only a few feet and a little higher, but for some reason it puts me like there's just, I don't know, got that clergy and laity thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, there's a little distance. Exodus 17. Would you look at verse number 8, please? I just want you to see this. Then came Amalek. If you were to read the chapters before this, the children of Israel were delivered out of the land of Egypt. They came through the Red Sea. They were excited. They got to the other side. After a while, they realized it was desert. They had no food. They had no water. That excitement turned into, what in the world's going on here? Amen. They've been through some struggles. I mean, think about that. They've been through some struggles. And then verse number 8. Then. See that word then? That denotes a particular time period. If they were ever vulnerable for an attack, it was right then and there. I mean, they were struggling with, you know, the no food and just going through no water. I mean, what a struggle. And in the midst of all that struggle, then came Amalek. Amalek is a picture of the flesh. The children of Israel had their battles with no food and no water, but this was the first battle they had with physical people, flesh. So that's why Amalek's a picture of the flesh. And so this enemy came at a time when they're already beat up. Amen? You ever been there? I've been there. Not now. You know what I mean? You're just going through whatever and somebody wants to. Not now. Amen? But look at what it says. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. You see, although Amalek came at a time that they were in their struggle, they still had to fight the good fight, right? Fight with Amalek. He said this, here's what Moses said. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. Now obviously Moses was going to go to the mountaintop and Moses was going to seek God. Okay? Now thank God we don't have to get on no physical mountaintop to get closer to God. Amen? But the fact of the matter is Moses said, choose out men that need to go down in the valley to fight. I'm going to go up on the mountaintop and I can understand the visual effect here. I'm going to get as close to God up there as I can get. Verse number 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand. Obviously, the rod of God is in his hand, but there's an emphasis on holding up the hands. Now, as you read and study the scriptures, there's an emphasis of holding up hands in prayer. In fact, in 1 Timothy 2:8, men are to lift up holy hands in reference to prayer without wrath and doubting and so on, right? And it says this, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, which, by the way, to me is a symbol of seeking God. It's prayer. It's depending on God, right? When Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. As long as Moses, representing the nation, was seeking the Lord and reaching for the Lord and pleading for the Lord's help, they could win the victory. They were winning the victory. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. It's a good picture, I think. Good illustration. When we're seeking the Lord, we got a better chance of winning than when we're not seeking the Lord. Amen? But Moses' hands got heavy, or were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. They helped him. This is a good illustration, I think, by the way, of when the man of God, the leader of the church, is trying to seek the Lord, he needs others to be helping him as he's seeking the Lord. Amen. Praying for him, right? The one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. In other words, Moses lifted up his hands and was seeking the Lord. And as he was doing that, they were winning the victory. When he stopped, when he wasn't able to lift up his hands, when his hands got heavy and he couldn't lift them up, they began to lose. So somebody helped, hold up his hands. And I think by way of illustration or by way of an example, you and I can win as long as we're depending on God, as long as we're seeking the Lord about it. Amen. We stop seeking God, we're going to lose. Amen. We're going to lose. Prayer is definitely a need, no doubt about it. Amen. Well, let's pray right now and we'll take a little break and we'll see what the Lord will do for us. Amen. Let's pray. And we'll keep Jason's wife in prayer, Kelly, this morning as well. That God would be with her at the hospital down there in Philadelphia. And pray for our brother as he continues to recover with his rotator cuff there. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning just to talk, Lord. I'm not really focused on preaching, if you will. It's just something laid on my heart this morning. And it's for me, I know, but maybe it'll be for others as well. I do pray you'll help us to be people of prayer, Lord. We don't have to be people that do a certain type of prayer or praying like somebody says, but that we might be people who will simply open our hearts to you and pour out our hearts to you on a daily basis. We cannot win the battles that we face as believers without you. Without you, I think of what Jesus said, we can do nothing. But through you, we can do all things. I think it's Psalm 61:11, through God we shall do valiantly, for it is he that shall tread down our enemies. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We can't take a gun and shoot the devil. Our weapons of our warfare, they're spiritual. They're mighty through you. Help us, dear Lord, as believers, to hear the encouragement from the scriptures to pray and to speak with you whenever, wherever. But help us also, Lord, to realize that through prayer we can face and fight the devil, face and fight the flesh, face and fight the world. Not that we'll always win. We may get conquered, but we can thank God through prayer, get back on track and keep on fighting and keep on fighting. The devil's defeated me in the past. The world has defeated me in the past. The flesh has defeated me in the past. But I got the blood of Jesus to wash me and cleanse me, and I got back on track again and just keep on going. May we all do that. Bless our time of fellowship. Lord, bless the upcoming service. May you lead, guide, and direct in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, Lord, I pray for our sister Kelly as she's in the hospital. We're praying for you to watch over her. Comfort her today, Lord. We pray you will just hedge her round about, protect her. Pray for our brother as he is recovering with his rotator cuff, Lord, that you'll give him the grace to go through the therapy, to get back to full motion, Lord. We pray for others, Lord. I know there are many going through many things. We're all going through something. If not, we will be. I'm just praying for those that are sick, those that are down, that you'll give them grace while they are, and that you'll lift them up and raise them up. I notice some aren't here probably due to sickness, and I'm asking you to watch over them. In Jesus' name, amen.